It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the congressional corner today with New York Congressman Pat Ryan. He's a Democrat from the 18th District in office since winning that special election back in 2022. Congressman Ryan, welcome back.
Hey, Ian. Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Well, I read that the NFL opener in Brazil next season is going to be on a Friday on Peacock. You've been fighting this trend, so here's a question for you. When are the congressional hearings for courted viewers?
Yeah, we're pushing hard on this front. It is outrageous that as these companies are making billions of dollars, they're trying to charge even more to folks that are already paying for dozens of services just to watch whatever their team is, whatever their league is. And we saw this in the playoffs in a big way. So I'm pushing for hearings. It's been hard to get folks to focus on this, arguably because I think the Republicans running these committees are pretty bought and paid for by the big corporations. So I'm going to keep pushing on that, but encourage folks that are in this situation to reach out to our office too and help raise their voice so that we can elevate those stories.
Let's go to some more important stuff. Since we spoke last, New York has another new congressional map, which is largely the same as the one that you ran under last time. So what do you think of the current 18th district now that it's set for the 2024 elections?
Well, the way I think about it is, there weren't really dramatic changes to the districts after a lot of back and forth and kerfuffle. But really, no matter where the district line falls, frankly, no matter what Trump picked extremists, they're going to run against me. I think we have a very clear choice in the fall. I'm running on a positive vision for the future of the Hudson Valley to deliver economic relief, to protect and expand fundamental American freedoms, to fix a lot of critical problems facing our country. And on the other side, you've got far right politicians that are really only interested, in my view, in looking backwards, in fear-mongering, in sowing division. So I think the stakes couldn't be higher. And we really just don't need more partisans, more kind of provocateurs in Congress. We need patriots who want the country to actually succeed and to bring us together.
So just to be clear for people who maybe haven't paid that much attention yet to the elections, Lee Zeldin, who ran for governor the last time, picked a running mate, Allison Esposito, and she is the likely Republican candidate who will be facing you in the 18th district for Congress. So when you said, a Trump-backed provocateur, I assume that's who you meant?
I think that's a perfect characterization of my opponent. Exactly.
So what would you do specifically with another term if you do win again?
Well, there's a ton of work that we've got moving forward that I'm excited about, whether the committee work I'm working on the Armed Services Committee, trying to support our troops, strengthen our military, make sure we're prepared, given really volatile situations in Europe, in the Indo-Pacific, and in the Middle East, that we have strong deterrence. We're doing everything we can to prevent war rather than get ourselves in further war. Continuing my work on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, driving the $1.3 trillion bipartisan infrastructure law to the Hudson Valley to make sure we're improving roads, bridges, broadband, and the like. I mean, there's a ton of work that we've started and want to continue on the number one thing I hear from folks, which is just cost of living, affordability, bringing down, for example, prescription drug prices. I've got a bill I introduced that would dramatically lower prescription drug prices and finally put some pressure on these pharmaceutical companies that are making billions and billions every year on our backs. So we're going to continue on that. Making our healthcare system actually affordable and working more broadly is another big priority. We've got a lot happening in the Hudson Valley on bringing great jobs, bringing back American manufacturing jobs, particularly in technology and through the CHIPS Act, working with IBM on some of their quantum computing, building on the progress from when President Biden came to visit last year, I guess in 2022, I should say, end of 2022. So anyway, that's just a small sampling of the things we're working on that I want to continue to drive forward. So I'm excited about that opportunity and just going to keep working really hard to earn people's continued support and trust.
Let me ask you this question, because it's something that comes up again and again with voters and with polls. You mentioned affordability, the fight against inflation, high consumer prices. I mean, who's to blame for that? You know, you've got President Biden in the White House right now. Democrats control the Senate. It's narrow in the House. What would you say to the complaint that Democrats should own that one?
Well, I think for several decades, frankly, we've set up an economy, in my view, going back to Reagan, that has favored the wealthy and big corporations at the expense of working people, the middle class, working families. And we've seen this get worse and worse and worse. We're at near record levels of inequality. In the Hudson Valley, it's so stark. I mean, you look to our south in the city, you have some of the wealthiest multi-billionaires in the world. And then in our area, people are struggling to afford rent, to pay for health care, to pay their utility costs as our utility gets bought by foreign-owned private equity firms. So to me, there's some pretty fundamental generational level work to build an actual fair economy. And you could say both parties have had roles in that over the last decades in allowing us to get to this place where the rich are so rich that they don't know what to do with it. And rather than being willing to pay their fair share, you have big corporations paying an effective 8% tax rate while all of us are paying in the 30s and 40%. That's just not fair. So President Biden, I think, gets this, and actually in the State of the Union really laid out a vision with detail that not only addresses that, but actually closes our budget deficit while doing it by just making those that have a lot pay their fair share.
Let's talk about the ultimate funding agreement. After a lot of games of chicken, it seemed, government was kept open. There was a bipartisan deal. What did you think of it?
Well, process-wise, I mean, it was 6 to 7 months late and incredibly dangerous to high wire act that the Republicans in charge played, where rather than focus on addressing things and coming to agreement, there were multiple near shutdown moments, multiple moments where, frankly, even though we're in the minority, the Democrats were the adults in the room and prevented two shutdowns over the course of the year. So the process was really problematic, and I think reflects the chaos of the Republicans in charge of the House. In terms of the results and the outcome, I think it was about the best we could get with who we've got in charge in the House. We prevented some really dangerous cuts. At various points, there were proposals to cut up to 30% or 40% of critical programs, from food assistance and SNAP to the WIC program, for example, that makes sure poor moms can have food and nutrition for their kids. Veterans funding was proposed to be cut up to near 40%. So we were able to block a lot of really bad and potentially harmful cuts. And I'm excited about the prospect of a Democratic-led House and a Democratic president coming into next year, where we can now start working on some of those big pieces we were talking about, with protecting Social Security and Medicare, building a more fair tax code, getting rid of the Trump tax program that put more taxes on the back of most Americans so that the wealthy could have these huge tax cuts they've had for the last 4 or 5 years.
We're running out of time in today's segment, but let me ask you this. What do you hear about Marjorie Taylor Greene potentially trying to oust Speaker Mike Johnson?
It's incredibly concerning. I mean, she's the perfect example of that provocateur I was talking about, more focused on dividing us, really sowing true chaos and dysfunction just at the moment where we need the Congress to be working. And so I think that's, we see how she operates, and I think that's a real threat and something that hopefully they can get their act together. But it really reflects poorly on the Republicans in charge.
I imagine you don't have a lot of love for Speaker Johnson's tenure so far, though. Is that true?
Well, he hasn't done anything. I mean, I'm here to actually do things to try to fix the problems. I mean, domestically and around the world, it's one of the most consequential moments we're in. I think about my boys, 2 and 4 years old, and literally we have not been able to, this week, for example, pass any substantive legislation. We have a few hours left this week. Hopefully we'll pass something today. But it's just such a disservice to our democracy and to the American people.
We've been speaking with New York Congressman Pat Ryan, a Democrat from the 18th District. He's been in office since 2022. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about, quote, forever chemicals, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Ian.